Come on, if God's moving in this place, can you give him just all the honor and all the glory? Tonight, I'm excited to just be able to share a word with you. I was planning on going in a different direction, and the Lord kept bringing me back to this scripture. And so tonight I pray that it does something to our hearts and to our spirits. But if you got your Bibles with you, I want you to encourage you to go to Exodus 14. Exodus 14, we're just going to read just a few scriptures. If you don't have your Bibles, our team's going to place it up in the back. But the Bible reads it like this in Exodus 14. It says, "So the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and chased after the sons of Israel as the sons of Israel were going out boldly. The Egyptians chased after them with all the horses, the chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen and his army, and they overtook them camping by the sea in front of Baal Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were coming after them, and they became very frightened. So the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, 'Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt?'" Verse 12 says it like this. It says, "It is not the word that we spoke, is it not the word that we spoken to you in Egypt, saying, 'Leave us alone so that we may serve the Egyptians.' For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." But Moses said to the people, "Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord in which he would perform for you today. For the Egyptians in whom you've seen today, you will never see them again. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent." The Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to go forward. As for you, lift up your staff, reach out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the sons of Israel shall go through it in the midst of the sea to the dry land." Tonight, I want to share a thought with you titled, "Quit Going Backwards." Look at your neighbor and say, "Quit going backwards." Quit going backwards. Let's pray. Father, help us tonight. We pray, God, that the same way that we walked into this place won't be the same way that we walked out. God, we want a touch from heaven. We want a touch from you. So we pray that you deal with us tonight. Deal with our heart. Deal with our mind, God, so that we may experience the fullness of your love that you have for us. Tonight, we give you all of it, God. And we ask that you would continue to work in your name, in Jesus' mighty name. And we all say, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Quit going backwards. I want to ask a question tonight. How many of you tonight are in need of a desperate miracle? If you're in need of a desperate miracle. What's interesting about this scripture and what God's beginning to do with those that are coming out of Egypt is that he's beginning to take them really to a place where he's getting ready to perform a miraculous miracle. Many of us who've read the scripture at times would know, okay, the Lord's going to split the sea and he's going to do what only he can do. But tonight I want to focus on a little bit of the heart posture of the Egyptians that were really having a wrestle with going forward. The Bible begins to describe and really bring us to a place in the scripture and the text that shows us that leaving Egypt wasn't that easy for the people. That the people really had this wrestle, they had a struggle inside of them. And today, I believe many of us struggle with the same thing within our own heart and mind. The Bible begins to describe in verse 9 that they were very afraid. It made sense for Israel to be afraid because they were caught in the middle. What they could see on one side is Pharaoh and his people coming after him. And then on the other side, they can see a sea that God has yet not performed a miracle. And when I ask the question, is there anyone that needs a desperate miracle? Oftentimes, in our own faith, we find ourselves in a position just like this, where the miracle of what we're believing for, we still can't see God work. And then we're stuck in this little in-between phase of going, God, are you going to be faithful or are you not going to come through? The Egyptians at this time were having this moment. The children of Israel were having this moment. They're going, God, are you going to be faithful and do what you said you were going to do, or did you leave us here to die? The people are coming. The fight is coming. What am I supposed to do? And God, what he did, what he would seem to do to the children of Israel is he would seem to bring them to a place that felt like a trap. and made them believe that there was no way of escape except the way that they had come in. What they were looking forward to wasn't split open. The miracle hasn't happened, and it felt like a dead end. Sometimes praying for miracles often feel that way. If you're here today and you're going, man, I just need a desperate touch of God. Maybe you're believing for a sick person, or maybe you're believing for healing in your own body, and the reports keep coming back negative. It feels like God's not going to do his part. But tonight, I want to remind you of the faithfulness of God's grace. There was something that he does to the children of Israel that I believe he looks to do in the believer of you and I today. The words of those that they begin to speak say it like this. It says, because there are no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? The fear and the cry of the Lord really starts to make sense when you're reading this. Yet their words to Moses show how little faith they had and how little confidence they had in God. And that's us sometimes. We go, God, I know your word says in scripture that you're the God that heals, that you're the God that restores, that you're the God that works the miracle and does the things, but sometimes our faith does not match really what God is asking of us, but really it's rooted in a place of fear. And it convinces us that the miracles that are ahead aren't for our life, convinces us that the only way out of any circumstance we're experiencing is to actually go backwards instead of forward. Israel at this time was not even a week out. They weren't even a week out of Egypt, and they already distorted their past, thinking that it was better for them in Egypt than it actually really was. They convinced themselves because the fight that was ahead of them was so great that they couldn't be able to move forward. And church, I'm here to remind you, there's no greater tactic than the enemy than to convince you that your past is greater than your future. There's no greater tactic. If he can convince you that your future is not good enough in God, then he will convince you that going backwards seems a lot greater. So why does this matter? Because if he can make you fearful enough, he'll keep you frozen rather than moving forward in God's promise. See, many of us are preparing for our next steps with God, and really what it seems to push through a miracle. To say, God, I want to go forward with what you're asking of me. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a career. Maybe it's a place that you're going, God, this is a new season of what you're asking, but it needs a miracle for you to step into. And many of us find ourselves in this place with the Lord where we're going, God, I want to go forward to what you're doing, whether it's a mission field or a ministry or a career path or school. But the enemy keeps coming with his small voice saying, you can't go forward. There's no way. The miracle that you're believing for is not going to happen, especially not over you. Your past is too great. The sins that you committed is not good. It's God's faithfulness is for the person next to you, but not you. And church, I'm here to remind you, those are all lies of the enemy. You're a son and a daughter to the King. He wants to be faithful to you. He wants you to move forward in the kingdom of heaven for him. It's imperative for you to know that your past, no matter how tempting it may seem, it's not greater than your future. The enemy will try to convince you time and time again, going backwards is more profitable, but it's not. Tonight, you might need your own water-splitting miracle. Tonight, you might be no different than the children of Israel. That God is beginning to bring you out of a place. Maybe he's sanctifying you. Maybe he's bringing you to a deeper place in prayer. Maybe he's trying to get your attention and use you in your workspace, in your workplace. But the fight is starting to come against you. And you're thinking, oh, God, I don't know if I can do this. But God can in you. Not through your own strength, but through his faithfulness, it can happen. I want us to look at how Moses begins to prepare the children of Israel. Because I think what he begins to teach them is something that you and I can learn for tonight. The Bible says that Moses begins to use these words, do not be afraid. At this point, Moses had no idea how God would even help him in this situation. All he knew in his heart was God will certainly help. Sometimes we need people in our lives to remind us that when we don't have the faith or we can't even see the end, that they can come by and remind us, no, God will do what he said he could do. Sometimes it's important to get around other believers and other Christians for the simple reminder, God is faithful to his children. So Moses begins to teach him. He says, don't be afraid. Moses knew that they were in such a bad situation that God ultimately had to come through. It's important that we know that when we see that our only hope is in God, we're more likely to trust him. Sometimes it's the little things that we think we can do on our own. Those are the things that keep us stuck in the same cycle and the same stuff. It's the things that we think we don't need God in. Maybe it's the attitude in which you approach your day. Maybe it's the way that you respond to an individual when he called you to love. It's in the little things that we think, oh, they're not that big of a deal that God's going, no. It's in those that I want full surrender as well. Because in those little things, I can continue to do my best work, and then I'm going to bring you through the miracle. The things that we think that we can do on our own is what actually diverts us. The response of the children of Israel shows us that God works wonders, and ultimately what I like to call a standstill moment. See, the children of Israel were brought to a standstill moment. Their miracle that was ahead of them seemed like it wasn't going to happen. And the Bible begins to describe that Pharaoh and the chariots are already coming behind them, so they're blocking the opportunity to go backwards, and they feel like they're stuck in this little trap. And God brings them to a standstill moment. You ever felt like you were just stuck in something and you couldn't get out of it? You're going, God, I've prayed about this 1,000 times, but why is it not changing? Tonight I want to introduce a new thought to you, that maybe it's a standstill moment with the Lord, that our job is not to actually go forward or be convinced to go backwards, but our job is to actually go deeper. To go deeper. I think in our minds sometimes we think the only way of direction is just to go forward and backwards. But in the kingdom, I think God asked us at times in standstill seasons not to be so focused on what's ahead, but to be focused right here on our knees to say, I'm going deeper with you, Lord. Standstill moments is God's often direction to the believer in times of crisis or even in specific seasons. Here's what I've learned, that when the enemy comes to bring little voices, these are the voices that I've learned over the years that he begins to bring as lies to our own mind. He would remind us and speak against God's word and his faithfulness, and he would say things like this: despair will cast you down. Despair is going to cast you. You're going to walk in just this despair. Fear is going to convince you to retreat. Impatience will tell you to do something now. The enemy's going to come in and he's going to try to convince you to be presumptuous, and it would tell you to jump into the Red Sea before it even parts. Yet God told Israel, as he often tells us, to do this: simply stand still and hold your peace until I make a way. Presumption will tell you to go. I'm gonna swim my way through this miracle. Fear will tell you to retreat. Despair will tell you it's not for you. But God goes, as he often does, just like he did to them, and he often does to us today. He says, just stand still until I work it out. Sometimes it's hard to stand still. Moses knew what God was getting ready to do. Moses knew that God was getting ready to work a miracle out for them. But it's important to know in Scripture that although Moses knew, the reality of the children of Israel is that they did not know. And here's why this is important for you and I today. Because it's not just enough for your pastors and your leaders to know how good God is. God desires for you to know how good God is. He desires for you. Some of us are okay. Well, my pastor says that we're going to see the tide change and he's going to be faithful. While that is true, do you believe that in your heart? When you're faced with your own miracles that you're believing for, when you're faced with your own Red Sea that needs to get parted, do you truly believe inside your heart? See, the children of Israel were going based off of Moses' word. There's a promised land on the other side, but God goes, I need to get their attention too. I need them to understand that I'm faithful to them too. Tonight, God is faithful to you. It's not those that just sing. It's not our band, Ricardo or Elder Vicky. It's not just our pastor or our elders. It's for you. God wants to be faithful to you. He wants to know how good he is to you. He wants you to know how good he is to you. That he's true to his word. That he wants to work a miracle. That he wants to heal. That he wants to restore. That he wants to protect you. The Lord wants them to know what these very words mean. The Lord will fight for you. There's something significant that happens when you're still with God. When you're still with God, it creates new opportunities with him. You see, God was preparing them to go forward, but first he had to deepen them. Like tonight, I believe that he wants to deepen us. He had to show them that he is the great I am. And that he is the beginning and the end. There are seasons in our life that the Lord brings us to that are standstill seasons. They're not God turning his back on us. It's not God forsaking his children. They are seasons that God is just asking us not to go forward or not to go backwards, but just to go deeper. The Bible allows us to experience, the Bible shows us that they're at a standstill. So they're delivered, not so that they're delivered into the hands of the enemy, but so that they would be delivered from themselves. God sometimes allowed these standstill seasons, not so that we are delivered into the enemy's hands, but so that he actually gets a chance to deliver us from ourselves. Our own thinking, our own patterns, the same cynical cycle that keeps us stuck in the same things. God allows these moments to come, so he works on us, open heart surgery. And it's in the deepening where those things get exposed. See, if you're in a standstill season, God's going, you can be delivered. If you're in a standstill season, God's going, I'm getting ready to work that miracle. But it's going to take some work in me. There was a season in my life, and I shared just a little bit of my testimony. But when I had this encounter with the Lord at 18 years old in my own room, I had the doors locked. I was in a prayer moment. And I just felt just a tangible presence of God. I felt arms wrap around me. And I felt God just begin to just speak these words over my life. I love you, son. And something began to break over my life. This orphan mentality, this orphan idea, this rejection, these lies. But before I got to this moment, I remember I was calling my brother. My brother was off at Bible college. And I called my brother and I said, Jack, I just have this sense that that God is trying to do something in me and I just don't know what I'm supposed to do. And he just told me two things. He says, go to prayer and the Lord is digging a deep well. That's all he kept telling me. And every single time I would call him, he said, Gio, go to prayer. The Lord is digging a deep well. And he coined this term for me, God is digging a deep well. And so every single time that I went to prayer, I just went, God, you're digging a deep well in me. You're beginning to do something that I can't see, but I know you're getting ready to pour your spirit into it. There's this animal I'm reminded of. My brother went to a Bible college in Australia at the time, and I had a chance to go out there to go visit him. And there was somebody that was telling me about this animal that was out there. And it's called the greater bilby. For all my Australians, if I messed that up, forgive me. But it's called the greater bilby. And what's amazing about this little animal, it's kind of a small little animal with big ears. And what's significant about it, it's not that it's big enough to catch any kind of prey, but it has a unique thing to it. A greater bilby has the ability to construct a deep burrowing system, burrow system. And its strength is not in size, but its strength is in its ability to dig deep. It's able to make bury up to 3 meters and 2 meters wide. And what's unique about it is that the depths of it that it digs does something significant for predators that are trying to get after it. It protects them from being able to locate them. It saves them in a really unique way. So this little animal has the ability to dig deep, and what it does is it protects it from predators being able to find it, to be able to get to it, and then it also protects it from the heat. And I started to think about this when I started to think about digging deep wells with God. Digging deep wells with God is often like this little animal. That God's going, you might not have the strength to fight the enemy all on your own, but I've given you an ability to dig deep that keeps you covered from predators and it keeps you covered from heat. Digging a deep well with the Lord is going, God, I might not be able to move forward, but digging deep is going to save me. Digging deep is going to deliver me. Digging deep is going to do something significant for me. See, when you dig deep wells with God, it creates room for you to be connected to sustainable, clean water, living water, holy water. It gives room for God to pour fresh oil on you. Please hear me tonight. Oil can't be borrowed. Oil can't be borrowed. You can't borrow somebody else's oil and walk around and be like, God's good. It's going to show. It's going to show that you haven't been in the presence of God. Oil can't be borrowed. Nobody can pray enough for you to sustain your own fire. It takes a believer to dig a deep well inside and say, God, it is me and you. I want a personal relationship with you. I want to experience your faithfulness. I want to know that you're the God that covers me, that heals me, that restores me. All of that personal revelation can't be bought, can't be copied, but it has to be coming from a personal place of devotion. It takes the believer to say, I'm willing to go deep with God. Because God, I need your protection. Digging deep with God produces lasting oil. And what it simultaneously does is it protects you from the heat. Recently, and I've gotten permission to share just this story, but recently we had an opportunity just a few weeks ago to dig a deep well with the Precious family. One of our volunteers, Timmy, he's somebody that he's a volunteer, he's a brother. And we've been journeying through just the last few years. And we've been journeying through this journey with his mom, who's struggling with a rare cancer. 3 weeks ago, we got invited to come over to her house and just bring the church to her. We got a report, and the report just, we knew what we needed to do. We knew what God was asking. And Bina was in the living room with her hands raised, and one of our guys came over with a guitar, and all we sat there for 45 minutes just playing worship music. And as I looked at Bina was with her hands raised with a little bit of strength that she has, and she's singing with all that she got. She was the loudest person in the room. I walked over to Bina and we had an opportunity to pray for her. We've seen God work incredible miracles and we're believing for another one today. But when I had the opportunity and we as a team walked over, we went over and we're getting ready to lay hands and just pray that God would continue his best work in her. She stops and she looks at us and she says, I need you to understand something. And we all just got silent. And she goes, God brings no harm to his children. God brings no harm to his children. All of our eyes filled with tears. Because a person who's fighting the fight of a rare cancer is the first person with her hands raised with the loudest voice of all that she got, no matter how painful it was to her body, and she's declaring the goodness of God. What does that show? That when there is a miracle that you're waiting for and you're believing for it to come, the opportunity is not to go backwards, but it's to go deeper with him. Bina, if we could just take a second and pray for her. Church, can we pray? Father, we thank you right now for Bina. We lift up her life to you, God, and we ask right now that you would begin to heal her in her home, God. We pray, Father, like Hezekiah, God, that you would continue to add years to the life, that you would see her heart, that she's worshiped in spirit and in truth, God. And so, Lord, we declare right now that that demonic cancer to be removed out of her body. We pray out of her brain. Father, we thank you that you're strengthening her bones even as we speak. Lord, we give you all the glory that even right now as a church, we dig deep wells with her, God, going, God, we are going to see the faithfulness of what you have in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, church, and we all say amen. Digging deep wells with God requires something from us. It requires something from us. Elder Vicky said it when she was talking, that even when the feelings don't match, I'm still going to give God my very best. Digging deep wells produces something in us. And tonight, I want to give you just a few thoughts, if you're taking notes, that I believe that God wants us to just lean in just a little bit on. So if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Number one, digging deep wells with God protects you from the enemy. Digging deep well protects you from the enemy. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be alert and sober-minded. For your enemy, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Daniel, I want us to consider the story of Daniel in Daniel 6. The Bible says, starting in verse 10, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room and to the window towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. These men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and they spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or human except you, your majesty, would be thrown into the lion's den? I want you to remember 1 Peter 5:8. Be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Daniel, a praying man who found favor with God, who was blameless, who was honorable, started to experience hate from his people. And those that were working near him and around him started to plot against him. And the Bible begins to describe that what those men did, they go to the king and they put a whisper in his ear and they tell him, God, didn't you say that you wanted everybody to just worship you? So if anybody doesn't worship you, can we throw him into the den? They knew that Daniel wouldn't stop digging a deep well. So what did they do? They planned against him. And the Bible begins to describe that they found him praying just as he always did. So they take Daniel and they throw him into the lion's den. Now I want us to pick it up in verse 19. The Bible says, at the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called Daniel in an anguished voice, saying, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continuously, been able to rescue you from the lions? Look at Daniel's response. Daniel answered, may the king live forever. My God sent his angels and shut the mouths of the lions so they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in the sight, nor have I done anything wrong before you. See, what happens when you dig a deep well with the Lord, that no matter how many lions the enemy wants to bring towards you, God will shut the mouths of all of them, and he will keep you, he will protect you. It doesn't matter how many people talk about you. It doesn't matter about any of it. God is faithful to his children. But sometimes when we see the fight of the enemy and we see the lions, we forget what we've always done or what he's asked us to do. And that's to dig a deep well. Dig a deep well. Daniel, I believe, got in that lion's den and did no different than what he did up in his room. Then when the lions came, he would sit there and just be praying unto God, God, be faithful to your children. Be faithful unto thee. Digging deep wells protects you from the enemy. Number two, digging deep wells protects you from the heat. If you're taking notes, write this down. Protects you from the heat. The Bible says in Exodus 14, it says, during the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire in the cloud of the Egyptians' army and threw it into confusion. He jammed the wheels of the chariots, so they had a difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for Egypt. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt. Think about that. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire in the cloud of the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He jammed the wheels of the chariot so that they had a difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them. What Israel was starting to learn in this moment was that God was faithful to his children. There's a personal revelation God is trying to get us to as believers in him. That he is the God that fights for his children. There's no miracle that's too big for him. There's no circumstance that he can't step in and work his way through. But do we have the faith as believers to truly believe that? Or are we counting on the faith of the church? Are we counting on the faith of the past? Are we counting on the faith of those that are around us rather than digging the deep well that God's asked us ourselves? The Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hands over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and the chariots and horsemen. Moses stretched out his hands over the sea, and at daybreak, the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing towards it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. Look at the miracle that begins to happen. But the miracle came from a place of revelation. The Lord is fighting for me. Came from the place of revelation. As soon as the Israelites, as soon as the children of Israel understood that the Lord was fighting for them, what did he have Moses do? Stretch out his hands and the sea began to split. Tonight, the miracle that God wants to do in your own heart and your own life could be attached to a revelation that he's trying to get you to see. I think about my own journey and I think about my own life. I think all the times that God just worked he spared me and he kept me and he protected me and he did what only he could do. Those moments before, now that I think about it, majority of those moments before came after a revelation that he was trying to show me. He wants to be faithful to you. He wants to restore you. He wants to work the miracle in you. But he also wants you to dig deep in him. If you're taking notes tonight, here's the last one. Digging deep with God does this. It provides growing opportunity and fresh oil. Provides growing opportunity and fresh oil. Deep well seasons provide what other seasons can't. And it's an opportunity to have just a few things that God really wants to deepen in our hearts. The first one I believe that he wants to deepen is he wants to refresh our soul. Deep well seasons allow God to refresh our soul. How do we know? Because Psalms 23:3 says it like this, he restores my soul and he leads me to the path of righteousness for his name's sake. There are Christians, there are believers in this room that you're walking aimlessly. You're going, man, I've fought this fight and I'm just tired. I don't know if I have enough to keep going forward. My encouragement to you is he wants to refresh your soul. To the pastor, to the worship leader that's ready to give up, he wants to refresh your soul. He wants to refresh your soul. Deep well seasons provide what other seasons can't and wants to provide sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they what? Follow me. He desires to be in a personal relationship with you. He desires the sensitivity to his spirit so that when he does speak, you would know that he's moving on your behalf. Some of us are convinced God's not moving on my behalf, on our behalf, when in reality our ears are just plugged. He's been trying to tell you that he's trying to work the miracles out, trying to restore you, trying to do what only he can do. Deep well seasons provide what other seasons can't. Fresh anointing. It empowers ministry. It empowers creativity. It empowers boldness. Isaiah 61 says it like this, that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He sent me to proclaim the liberty to the captives and opening up the prisons to those who are bound. Fresh anointing empowers you to go out boldly. If you don't feel bold enough to go out, my encouragement is dig a deep well. The Holy Spirit will empower you. He'll give you the words. He'll give you the understanding. He'll give you the spirit and the strength to go and say, those things are not supposed to be happening. And invite others in to experience God's love and grace. Deep well seasons provide what other seasons can't, and it's an opportunity to be transformed. I believe deep well seasons allows our characters to grow. I think we have a unique time in this place where we have so many people that are high gifted with such low character. And I believe that God's looking for the high gifting and the character to match so that they can run their race and be effective for the kingdom of heaven. There's something significant when the character begins to match the gifting. It allows you to be so effective. It allows you to go out and be sensitive and recognize that it's just not about the gift, but it's about the people. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, and we all with unveiled faces beholding the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For all comes from the Lord who is in spirit. God wants to take us from glory to glory. We love that verse until it starts to challenge the character within. But see, digging deep wells allows God to begin to reshape those things inside our hearts, the things that are no longer fitting to the seasons of what he's called. He had to get the children of Israel to understand they were no longer slaves. To go from glory to glory, things needed to fall off. It's imperative for us to know this, that when we dig deep with God, it brings the correction, it brings the things, and those things are what allows us to experience the fullness of what he has. As I come to a close here, when we're at standstill seasons, I want us to remember that it doesn't mean the best direction is backwards. Tonight, I want to reiterate that thought, that the best direction is going deeper. That the miracles that you're believing for, God is still looking to do. But he's looking for you to go deeper. So worship team begins to come out. I want to encourage you to just stand on your feet with me. There's a quote from C.S. Lewis that I absolutely love, and it's from his book, Mere Christianity. If you haven't had a chance to read any of C.S. Lewis' books, I want to encourage you to. There's this quote that he says, and I really want you to consider this in your own heart. C.S. Lewis once put it like this. He says, imagine yourself as a living house. God comes in to rebuild that house, and at first, perhaps, you can understand what he's trying to do. He's getting the drains right. He's stopping the leaks in the roof and so on. So you knew that those jobs needed doing. So you're not surprised by it. But presently, he starts knocking the house about in a way that hurts abominably. And it does not seem to make any sense. What on earth is he up to? The explanation is that he's building quite a different house from the one that you thought of. He's throwing out a new wing here. He's pulling up an extra floor there. He's running up the towers. He's making a courtyard. You thought that you were being made into a decent little cottage. But he is building a palace, and he intends to come and live there himself. You thought that the deepening seasons that God brought you to was just to put all the small things in your little cottage back together. But the deepening seasons is a place that God comes in, he corrects, he challenges, he changes. He does what only he can do because he himself intends to live there. We want to be believers that go out and go make a difference for this world. We have to understand that sometimes standstill seasons are necessary for our life. Because it's in the deepening that he begins to show us what we're missing. It's in the deepening that we get our souls refreshed, that creativity begins to come back, that we get empowered by the Holy Spirit. Some of us are trying to go without God and we're wondering why it doesn't work. God's going, I'm trying to build a house that I can live in. But it takes a believer, it takes somebody to be willing to go, God, have your way. That the miracle that I'm believing for is a miracle in itself that you're going to do. But I know the greatest miracle out of all of this is that you're trying to deliver me from me. You're trying to deliver me from me. Some of us are okay with God just working miracles and not delivering us. God, just have your way. Just do it in that person. But please, don't come and touch this area of my heart. Please, don't come touch this area of my soul. And there's so many Christians that when they're going to face persecution are not going to have a well to dig out of. They're not going to have a well of oil, of anointing, of God's faithfulness to lean in. Because all they thought was, if the miracle didn't happen, my job is to go backwards. And the enemy's convinced many of us today to just forfeit it, to leave it behind. Don't go forward. God can't do what he said he's going to do. And he especially won't do it over you. But I'm here to remind you today, church, that God wants to do it in you. He wants to restore you. He wants to heal the cancer. He wants to bring a sound mind. He wants to bring your child home. He wants to restore a broken family. He wants to give you the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. He wants you to go make a difference in the ministry. He wants to use you in your workspaces and your places to the agnostic and to the atheist. He wants to do it all. But can a believer dig deep tonight? Can a believer go, God, I'm willing to go deep with you? Or will I forfeit it because I just, I'm not seeing you work your mighty hands? I once heard, if you can't see his hand, just trust his heart. Tonight, I believe that God is calling us to go deep. Tonight, I believe that there are many of us that have even considered forfeiting, saying, God, I've tried this too many times. I've prayed about it too many times. I see it in young people all the time. They pray for it for 7 days and they go, God's not working. Forget this. And some of us carry that same tendency. God, I've repeated this prayer 1,000 times. My son is not coming home. God will work his faithful miracle. God, I've prayed 1,000 times. The environment's not changing. God will work his miracle. But if it hasn't changed, then all that means is we have an opportunity to just go deep. And that's a beautiful place to be. Tonight, if you feel like God's calling you to go deep, could you just raise your hand for me? Tonight, can I ask you to do something boldly with your hands? Could you get out of your way and just come here up to the front? Just make your way. Just come right out of your seat. Don't worry about the person on your left or your right. If God is asking you, get out of your seat. There's something about moving your feet with God. Saying, God, I'm willing. I need that desperate miracle, but I need more of a deliverance in me. Come on, just make your way out of your seat. Tonight, if that's you, if you're up here, just lift your hands to heaven. The miracle that you're believing for, God's not done with you. Please make some room. Bring it in just a little bit tighter. Make some room. God's not done with you yet. His faithfulness is true to his child. God's not bringing harm to his children. He wants to work the miracle. He wants to deliver. But he first wants an encounter with you. Come on, if that's you, if you made your way up here, just lift your hands to heaven. Even if you're in the aisle, God's going to touch you in the aisle. Don't worry about it. God will touch you in the aisle. Our worship team's going to begin to sing right now. And I want you to just lift up a sound to heaven and begin to allow him to begin to give you the faith inside your heart to re-anchor you back into his grace.
Oh, if the highest place I'd reach is at your feet, then I've done it all. If the best thing that I've seen is your glory, then I've seen it all.
Come on, if you know it, begin to sing.
Your love has changed my life, forever satisfied. God, you are my everything. If the highest place that reaches at your feet, then I've done it all. If the best thing that
sing that.
Oh, what a God, what a mighty God.
just give it to him.
What a God, what a God, what a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before you, heaven and earth adore you. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. And what a mighty God we serve. And angels bow before you, heaven and earth adore you. What a mighty God we serve.
Thank you, Jesus. Come on, in your own words, just begin to speak to him. Just begin to thank him. For some, he's beginning to refresh your soul. For some, he's imparting creativity again. For some, he's bringing clarity. For some, he's even working the miracle out even as we speak. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just begin to thank him. Don't let the rocks cry out before you. Thank you, Jesus. For some, he's bringing sensitivity back, sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Come on, church, one more time. Let's begin to sing that.
Treasure. And what a God, what a God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, nobody like you.
Come on, if God's doing something in you, can you begin to give him just all the glory right now? Just begin to lift up a sound to him. Just begin to thank him right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You've not forsaken your children. Thank you, Jesus, God. You bring no harm to your children. Thank you, Jesus, God, that you are working all the miracles right now. That you are deepening us in a special way, God. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Come on, if you could just look up at me. Tonight, you're making the decision. If you got out of the seat and made your way up here, you are making the decision to no longer go backwards. What does that mean to us as believers? It means that when God keeps us in a standstill, that we're going to remember that it's our job to go deeper in him. Look at the person right next to you and say, you can't go backwards anymore. Can't go backwards. Can't go backwards. Tonight, if you made this decision, can you repeat this prayer with your hands lifted high? Just repeat this prayer after me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, forgive me for moving without you, for letting fear drive me. Tonight, I renounce it and I choose to go deeper with you. Give me the strength to never go backwards. That if I don't see you move, then I will go deeper. Tonight, let it change my life. And let your Holy Spirit guide me. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, we all give God all the glory. You're no longer going backwards. Come on, I said you're no longer going backwards. You're no longer going backwards. Before we end our service and before we end out in a praise song, we never like to end our service without giving anybody the opportunity. That tonight, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you're not born again, you don't know that eternity is your home, and you want to make that decision to become born again. The Bible says that when you confess it with your mouth and you believe it in your heart, that's then you would receive true salvation. So we're not going to ask anybody to close their eyes. I'm just going to ask you. That's you tonight. You felt the Holy Spirit. You want the Holy Spirit to dwell in you, and you want to live for the King. Could you just lift your hand for me? Thank you. I see your hands. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see you. Church, can we repeat this all together? Say, dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt, and you died for it. You faced hell for me so I would not have to go. And you rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven and a purpose on earth. Come on, say it like you mean it, in a relationship with your Father. Today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. God is my Father. Jesus, my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper, and heaven is now my home. In Jesus' mighty name, and we all say, come on, if you're not going backwards, can you give God just a shout of praise in this place? Come on, if you've been set free, can you give God all that you got? Come on, let's go out on a praise.